I wanted to share a story this morning. Uh-oh, he's going for his whiteboard again. I love this thing. But there's a gentleman by the name of, some of you already know this story, and have told this story this past Sunday, this past Wednesday at our leadership training, but there's a gentleman by the name of Ying Kai. And he was, when he was a young boy, he was sitting and overheard his mom and dad talking in their bedroom one night. They weren't a very rich family. But his mom and dad were talking, and his dad said to his mom, "I'm going to buy Ying. I'm going to buy him a bike." And Ying was very excited about this because he'd been wanting a bike for the longest time. And so Ying went to his father and he said, "Dad, can I have a bike?" What did his father say? "No. This doesn't compute, right?" Because Ying had just heard that his dad said to his mom, "I'm going to buy Ying a bike." So it would only naturally make sense that if Ying was to go ask him for a bike, he would give him one. But his father said no. Ying asked him again. His father said no again. Finally, after I don't know how many times of Ying asking his father for a bike, his dad said yes. Why did Ying continue to ask his father for a bike? He wanted one, but the fact was he knew his father's heart. Exactly. He knew his father wanted to give him a bike. So he asked his father for a bike. Do you know the father's heart? Do you know the Father's heart? When you go to prayer to the Father, does He answer your prayers? Does He want to answer your prayers? The Father wants to answer our prayers. He wants to give us what we ask for. But what's the caveat? Is it in line with the Father's heart? What is the Father's heart? We've been talking about the Father's heart for about how many months now? 2 months? I would say 4 years in 2 months. As long as I've been here, we've been talking about the Father's heart. Do you know what the Father's heart is? Okay? We have a motto outside on our church sign and outside this sanctuary that says what? Okay? Love God and love people. And what? Help others do the same. Have we been talking about that for the last 4 years? Most definitely. We've talked about community. I remember when I first came here, my first report that I gave to this church, I said, the feeling here that I have is that this church is somewhat scattered. In that we have lots of people who do lots of things that show up on Sundays, but we don't know each other. We didn't know each other. Yes, I know that his name is Wayne and that their name is Kathy, but I didn't know them. I didn't know their heart. Do you know each other's heart? Are you confident that you know each other's heart? This is the heart of God. Love God, love people. It's summed up in what way? The great commandment says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's love God, love people. That's his commandment. When Jesus said that, who was he speaking to? He was speaking to his disciples, but he was also speaking to who? The religious leaders of the day, who had an issue with Jesus. Because Jesus claimed to be who? The Son of God, the Messiah. But Jesus did what? Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He healed people. He healed the blind man, born blind. He healed a man that could not see. He healed a man that was lame, that was sitting beside the pool of Bethesda. And he'd been there for how long? 38 years. 38 years. Jesus comes to him, and he goes to him specifically on a Sabbath day. And what does he do? He comes up to the man, and he says this. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? What would your answer be? Duh, absolutely. Is that how he answers him? What does he say? He gives him excuses. He says what? He says, when I get up and when I'm getting ready to get into the pool to be healed, somebody gets in front of me and steals the anointing. This has happened for 38 years. That's 4 Sundays a month for 12 months. But this is every day. Do you want to be healed? You feel the comedy in that? But Jesus comes to him specifically. Nobody else comes to him specifically on the day of Sabbath. Do you want to be healed? He doesn't say yes. He says, he gives him an excuse. Well, every time I try to get into the pool, somebody gets in front of me and I miss out on it. What does Jesus do? He speaks the word, says, be healed. And says, get up. What do you think the man's thinking? I've been trying to get up for 38 years. And you just saying the word is going to tell me, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk. He gets up, his limbs are strong, and he walks. What's the next thing that happens in that story? Tells him to pick up his mat. What's the problem? You'll find this story, if you want to know, in John chapter 5, 1 to 23. He says, get up your mat. Picks up his mat, and he starts walking with his mat. Well, there was about 38 points that the Pharisees kept law of on a Sabbath day. And one of those laws was what? Yep. But what was specifically the law about the mat? The mat was carrying a burden. Do not carry a burden on a Sunday. Leave it alone. The kicker, a couple of kickers out of this story is one. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the scribes, what do they concentrate on? They concentrate on the law and the fact of the matter that the man is carrying his mat on a Sunday, violating the law. Love God, love people. Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees many times, he says, your heart is far from me. You don't know me. You know the law, okay? But does it say law anywhere in here? You guys might say, well, it's God. God has laws. Yes, he does. He has commandments. And he says, you are my friends if you what? Do what I command you to do. Okay, so that's like God's commands, God's laws. The Pharisees and Sadducees know that the people have gone through a history of what? Coming and going with God. Being in the blessing of God, being in the cursing of God. They've gone through 70 years of exile in Babylon. And we talked about it last week. I think they finally learned their lesson we read in Psalm 115, right? Psalm 115 is a psalm of what? It's a psalm of witness. This is what God has done. This is why we worship him. This is why he's great. And we're not going back. The Pharisees and Sadducees started out remembering this is where we were. And we're not going back. So they had a good thing in mind. We're going to protect the people. We don't want to violate sin and the commandments of God anymore. We want to be his people, his holy people. And so they pursued that. But just like most of us know, too much of a good thing can end up in a bad thing. They became law keepers. And what does Jesus say to them? He goes, you know the law, but you've forgotten the spirit of the law, of why I gave it. Right? To give you a guide to know the right, the difference between right and wrong, what is sin, what is death. So they make up these 38 points that have come to evolve about the Sabbath. Don't violate the Sabbath. Why would that be so important? Because the Sabbath in the past had become about worshiping other gods. Right? Doing whatever people wanted to do. I'm going to worship God on this mountain, and I'm going to burn incense this way, and I'm going to worship Chemosh and Moloch and Baal. I'm going to go to the Ashtoreth. All those things. So he said, no. This is God. This is what he's instructed. So we're gonna clamp on to that. So in order for you not to violate that, we're going to put up fences so that you don't. And one of those laws was do not carry a burden on the Sabbath. And the mat was a burden, supposedly. They forget about the miracle of what's happened. They're such law keepers about the law, about doing right and wrong, that they've forgotten about the spirit of the law, of why it was given, and what they should really celebrate. This is a miracle before them. A man who was lame, has not walked for 38 years, is now walking in your midst. What's really important? What's really important in your life? What's really important in our lives? That's a question you need to ask. When we live our life, what's really important? What matters to God? What matters to Jesus? Those things should matter to me. That's the Father's heart. What mattered to Jesus? Not the law. What mattered to him? a man that has been suffering for 38 years and relieving him of that suffering, that pain. Interesting part in that story happens what? The man picks up his mat, starts walking about. Does he come back to Jesus? Read the story. Does he come back to Jesus? No, he's gone. Jesus actually hides back into the crowd and disappears. Why? Why does Jesus do that? There's another story here, symbolistic story that we could run by here, is that people say, why did Jesus pick out that man that had not been, that had been suffering for 38 years, and the man does not return to give glory to God, or he doesn't even ask Jesus who he is? That never happens. Because you read in the story, he says, who did this for you? What's the answer? I don't know. I don't know who it was. Just this man said, walk. And I did. The symbolism here, some commentators talk about, is the fact that the man represents Israel, that had wandered for 38 years. Because remember, there between the Old Testament writing and the New Testament writing, there's what? 400 years of silence that we don't know what happened. During that time, the prophets have disappeared, and Israel has risen. Israel is in their land, and there's a civilization working, and the priests and the prophets and the scribes have come on the scene, and there's a temple. But during those 400 years, we're told what? God didn't speak. He was silent. This nation wandered for a long time. 70 years, 40 years in the wilderness, 38 years, specifically in Ezekiel. Talks about a scripture verse. I didn't mark it down. But talks about this fact that of quietness, that Israel had looked to every other God except for who? Jesus. The man is at the pool of Bethsaida for 38 years, hoping to be healed as they believe the angel would come and stir the water. And once he saw the water stirred, it was a race to get into the pool to be healed. He spends 38 years at the pool of Bethsaida waiting to be healed. And God's saying, come to me. Come to me, Israel. I'm the Messiah. I'm your Savior. I'm your healer. I'm the one that makes you well. Do you want to be healed, Israel? What does this have to say to us today? Do you want to be healed with what you struggle with? He is our healer, our Savior, our provider. And who are we looking to be healed of our ills today? It's a question. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is that He wants to heal us. He wants to heal you. But it only comes through who? Jesus. We've looked through that. We've seen that. That we live in a broken world that looks at everything else seemingly other than who? Jesus. Because we've seen and they've watched the church, seen the church somewhat devour our own, and have mocked the church, maybe saying, "Where is your God?" Because maybe we've got caught up in law, in rights and wrongs, and we forgot about the spirit of why Jesus came and what that was all about. Do you want to be healed? You see this signage in the church, right? Hopefully. Right there. Right there. Any three. Any three. Belong. People just simply want to belong. And they may want to belong before they believe. What's that mean? That means let me experience you. Let me experience a Christian community and what that is before receiving explanation of why you are who you are. Let me belong so that I might experience God. And going forward, that I might imagine what that is like. What could my life be like with God? What could my life be like different than living in this broken world? So we talk about belong before believe, experience before explanation, and imagine before instruction. Do you want to be healed? What does that look for to somebody who needs to be healed? They might not know because they've been carrying that burden for so long that it becomes part of them. They may not even know that they're carrying a burden, that they need God. What does that look like? Well, we talk about this in E3. We talk about, from our end, would be believe. I can talk to people about God. I can listen in their situation. I can be compassionate with them. Let them share. And then you can say, you know what I believe? This. That Jesus came into this world to glorify his Father by saving men and women, by redeeming the world. We have what? The three circles, right? And Jesus is the one that came, and sin is what blocks us from the perfect world. So this became broken. We pursue everything else other than God. But the only way to come to this perfection of God's design is through Christ, who came down as a man, died as a man, and rose as a Savior, so that we may have life and go back into the world fishing for men and women who are broke and bringing them back to Christ so that they might do the same thing. So we present what we believe. They may come to Christ. There's another way that people come to know Christ, and that's through what? Through belonging. We just talked about that. Believe, belong, and what? Final one is this. I'm going to hide it. Bless. Believe, belong, bless. What's blessing? Serving somebody. Loving somebody. For no other reason other than to show them the love of Christ. This is how people come to Christ. This is what Jesus did. Do you want to be healed? Well, let me tell you about a Father that loves and cares for you, and that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can only come through to me through what? Faith. Through belief. Through the grace of God. Come, spend time with us. See what life with a Savior is like. He grabs 12 disciples with him, and they experience life with Jesus. They see what Jesus does. They see who he is. They see what he cares for, who he cares for. They see his heart. And they come to start to belong. And then we simply have bless. Jesus says, what? Do you want to be healed? And he simply heals the man. What does he do? He blesses him. He didn't ask him if he believes. Interesting in the story. Didn't ask him to belong to his civic organization. But he simply blessed him. Some may come to Christ. Because in the story we see Jesus comes and the man is at the temple. And presumably he's at the temple giving thanks. Jesus shows up at the temple and he says to him, what? He says, see, you're healed. Sin no more. Right? And go on your way. He says, sin no more or else something worse may come upon you. But what you hear and what you see is the man never says, my Savior, my God. He doesn't acknowledge it. Some may not. But that does not mean that we are void of what? Blessing people. They may possibly believe, welcome them into community, and we simply bless them. Any three is an avenue to bring someone to Christ. A pastor, Danny Carroll, from Water Life Community Church in Fontana, California. I don't know the guy, but he said this. I'm not looking for an audience to fill up the church. I'm looking for an army to change the world. Are we that army? I hope we are. Not here just to fill up the church. Because I don't do that very well. But I want to build an army. See, the Christian life isn't about a cruise ship. It's about a battleship. We learned that from last year, from last week. Right? Even though we may not think we're at war, the enemy is at war with us. And we either pick up our Bible and get into the fray, or else we'll be one of the victims. Simple thing I want to share, though. Do you want to be healed? In that whole story with Jesus, the Pharisees come after him. And what do they see? What do? They start to persecute Jesus. This is where the persecution of Jesus starts, is with the man at the pool of Bethsaida. And what does... what do they say? What am I looking for? Oh, it's here. I can see it. Where is it? Anyways, when Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees about healing on the Sabbath, he says what? My Father is always at work, and I do the work of my Father. He basically takes their Sabbath and goes, God works on the Sabbath. He's worked on the Sabbath ever since man denied him to bring them back to the Lord. He never quits. He doesn't stop. Is there such a thing as retirement? There isn't. Not until we get face to face with God when our time has come up, and then during that time, at some point, we take our post and we'll be praising God. There's no such thing as retirement. So the final word is this then. From John, 1 John 4:17, Jesus, John says this, in this, love is perfected, with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is in this world. For we are as he is in this world. 1 John 4:17. What's that mean? For as he is, we are in this world. For as Jesus was, and as always has been, we have the same responsibility. We have the same authority. We have the same power given to us to function as he did today. Do you want to be healed? That should be a question that we have for everybody. Whether saved or lost, do you want to be healed? Everybody struggles with something. Just because you're a Christian and you know Christ doesn't mean that you don't struggle, right? Doesn't mean that you don't need to be healed. That should be a question we ask everybody. Should be part of your conversation each week. You get along with your buddies or your friends or one another. What do you need to be healed? Let me pray for you. What do we need? As he is in this world, we are. We're his hands and feet. We are his emissary. We bring healing to the world. And if we're not willing to bring healing to the world, who will? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your guidance, for your word. Lord, I am just a man, and I'm trying to listen to your voice. I have confidence to hear your voice. But your challenge is to us to be Jesus. As he is, we are in this world. Do I know your heart, Father? Do we know your heart? Do we pick up your word? Do we read it? Do we speak? Do we talk to you? Do we listen? We need to know your heart. And Father, as we know and strive to know your heart and do your heart, we are your friends who do your commands. You will bless us. You will give us favor. And you will heal us like the lame man beside the pool of Bethsaida. Father, would you do that? As we humble ourselves before you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.